God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our Gospel reading. As we celebrate this third Sunday in Advent, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, beginning with the second verse. In the second verse, we have John the Baptist incarcerated in prison, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had preached the truth of God's Word. But while people are in prison, something happens to them. They may start feeling a little gloomy, a little depressed, a little down and out. This was also happening to John the Baptist. You can tell by the question that he asks his disciples to ask Jesus. That question in our text says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" This question is really perplexing because John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He, of all people, should have known. Even before John the Baptist was born, Mary, while she was still carrying Jesus in her womb, and while John was still in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, he leapt for joy at the sound of hearing Mary's voice. Even before he was born, John the Baptist knew who the Messiah was. It even gets better than that. When John reached the age of 30 and started his baptizing for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus comes by to be baptized by John. And John very correctly says, "No, I need to be baptized by you." John again knows Jesus is the Messiah. And out of all the baptisms that John did, this one was unique when he baptized the Christ. Heavens opened. The voice of the Son of God, or the voice of the Father came. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. The voice saying, "This is my beloved Son." The reaffirmation of the Trinity taking place. John knew Jesus is the Christ. Even later, as Jesus was gathering his disciples and crowds were going to Jesus, John's disciples were getting maybe a little jealous. John himself said, "He," referring to Jesus, "must increase. I must decrease." Yes, John knew who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God. Then why in our text today does John sort of begged the question, "Who are you? Are you really the Christ?" Did John forget? No, my best guess is that while he was incarcerated in prison, lonely, in agony, feeling a little frustrated, when we get that way, we sometimes start losing sight of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same has happened to John the Baptist. And so Jesus doesn't necessarily flinch at this word. What does he do? He refocuses John, given via the disciples, back to the truth of God's word. "Tell John, what do you see? The blind are now able to see. The deaf are now able to hear. The lame are now able to walk. The dead are being raised. The good news is preached to the poor." That's the message Jesus gives back to John. Why that kind of message? Well, plain and simple. When we get down and out, when we start thinking only of ourselves, when we are sort of in prison in our own lives and are saying, "Woe to me," we start losing sight of God. And what does God need to do? He needs to refocus us back to His Word. Is this easy to do? The answer is no, it's not. Let me read for you the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, whenever we pray this, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And what is meant by daily bread? Daily bread is everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. This is what Jesus means when he says daily bread. And when things are going well for us, we do give thanks to our Lord. We do understand his grace and mercy. But what happens when things go poorly? Not up to our expectations. What happens when the daily bread that comes from God doesn't seem to meet with my desire, my hunger, and my thirst? Do we start complaining then? Do we start losing sight of who God is? Let's go back to our text for a moment. In verse 6, Jesus is talking, and he said, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Why would we be offended by Jesus? He's the one who gives us this faith. He's the one who perfects that faith within us. He's the one who forgives us our sins. He's the one who brings us to eternal life. Why would we be offended by him? Well, when the daily bread that God provides doesn't measure up with our expectations, we get offended by him. Let me put it another way. Have you ever really prayed for something? You really needed to have something, and you didn't get it. Very often this occurs, say, at the hospital bedside, when a loved one is dying. And the family members would gather and say, "Pastor, pray that the Lord will restore their health. We want a miracle to take place." But what if our Lord and Savior wants the miracle of eternal life to take place? Are we happy with that? Are we content with that? What if God calls this person to be with him in heaven above? Can we rejoice in that? Or do we sit there and grieve and say, and take it out on God, "Where are you?" That's exactly where verse 6 is coming from. Do we take out our anger and frustration of God at God and leave him, abandon him, fall away from him? That's what the Greek word here implies by offended. It's also used in another interesting place, not just with John the Baptist, but with one of Jesus' own disciples. No, I'm not talking about Judas. I'm talking about Peter. Peter who said, "Upon this rock," or Jesus who said of Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Also, right before Jesus was taken, he said, "Lord, even if everyone else falls away, deserts you, is offended by you, I will not be. I will stay by your side." We know what happens a few hours later. Peter then denies our Lord and Savior three times. What does this show us? Plain and simple, it shows us that we are sinful human beings. How can we measure up to St. John the Baptist or St. Peter? The answer is, we cannot. We also are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. We also are like in the same camp that John is in. There may be times in our life, there will be times in our lives when we will deny the Christ. When we will be offended by him, as verse 6 says, where we will fall away. Why? Because of our sinful pride. Because of our arrogance. Because of our not ability to give thanks for our daily bread and be content with it, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. So where does this leave us? Well, how did Jesus answer John the Baptist through his disciples? What did he say? He noticed how he answers. He answers by refocusing John back to what he sees God doing. The blind are able to see, the deaf able to hear, the lame able to walk, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. God does the same thing for each and every one of us. He refocuses back, focuses us back to God and His Word, the power of God. And where is the power of God in this world? We take a look at God's Word. Do we not, in God's Word, see people's lives changed? Sinners destined to hell now coming to be with Him in heaven above by God's grace and mercy. Again, we get refocused back to God's Word. And when that Word is connected to ordinary elements like bread and wine, we have the forgiveness of sins. Because that bread and wine is not just bread and wine anymore, it's also the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that sacrament, we have the strengthening of our faith because we need it. We have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, which comes from God and God alone. We need this sacrament because we don't have to go too far in our own lives to find ourselves sort of incarcerated by the world around us, sort of trapped in our own world, maybe not quite as dismal as John the Baptist physically, but maybe dismal spiritually, dismal mentally, and for some of us, maybe even just as dismal physically. So where does that leave us? With the same news that Jesus gives to John the Baptist. You know who I am. You see the works of God. Trust in them. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," do you not believe what we're asking? Again, let me read to you what Luther explains this. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. And here's a point where we may get sort of tripped up. When we start seeing the evil people of the world, the unbelievers of the world, the real terrible people of the world, getting more blessings than those who are good followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that cruel? No, it's not. We need to be thankful for the little blessings that we do have. If some people are blessed more, so be it. You be thankful for what you have. Let's not get tripped up because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as verse 6 in our text reminds us. But let me continue on. God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers and even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Are you receiving your daily bread with thanksgiving? If we are, then we are not offended by Jesus. And Jesus calls us blessed. For we truly are blessed. We are blessed with the forgiveness of sins. We are blessed with eternal life, true life, that comes from Him and Him alone. Let us not be offended just because someone receives more gifts or presents at Christmas time. Let us not be offended because someone has more blessings than we do. And let's not be offended when our prayers don't seem to be answered our way. We pray, "Your will be done, Lord, not my will." This day the church prepares for the coming of again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that expectation that yes, He will come again. As He came the first time born in Bethlehem, He also promised He is going to come again. And in that second coming, He is going to take us to be with Him in heaven above. Take those who are not offended by His grace and mercy. We don't understand the Word of God in its entirety. We don't understand all of God's will. So we say, "Lord, Your will be done." So on this day, as the church prepares itself for the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just in a few days from now, we are reminded that yes, the Lord gives many gifts. The most precious gift of all, the gift of Himself, when God takes on flesh and blood and makes His dwelling among us. We rejoice in that gift, and that gift should be enough for us. It should be. Unfortunately, there are times when we say, "Lord, I want more." God says, "Let me open your eyes. You have our Savior Jesus Christ. I will take care of you. That should be enough for you." So on this Advent time, we rejoice. The Lord has taken care of us. We ask Him to fill us with His Spirit, to strengthen us in this faith, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins, and to refocus us to His glory, especially when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." So the next time you feel trapped or imprisoned by your own life or by sin in the world around you, go back to God's Word. Go back to the Lord's Prayer. And remember, your daily bread comes from Him and Him alone. He is faithful. And as He promises to return, He promises to take care of you always. That is the joy. That is the message that we preach, we proclaim, and we live. In His name, amen.